This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across our great CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM. Channel 206, and the radio.com application. The number to join the fun, as always, is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Could also interact with us on the good old cesspool of Twitter by sending me a tweet, also shooting me a follow, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And you could follow our network's account at CBS Sports Radio as well. Have Mikey B, Mike Biseglia in the house, Tom D. Benedetto as well. And we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 54. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquare.com. Got two guests for you on this Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. Coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Hall of Fame offensive guard from the Kansas City Chiefs, spent his entire career with the Chiefs, Will Shields will join us. He actually played with Joe Montana as well when Joe was the quarterback in Kansas City, so we'll get a little feel for the Super Bowl next week, coming up on next Sunday between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll be doing our NFL picks and a little hockey pick as well with the former NFL quarterback in Gus Frerotte. And I'm a game behind Gus. It's the off week in terms of actual football, but we'll give you a pick for the Pro Bowl that I know each and every one of you really can't wait to watch this Pro Bowl coming up on Sunday. And we'll give you maybe a little pick on the game, which I don't even know how I'm going to decide that, or the over-under as well. I guess I will have to figure out where I'm going to go on that avenue, on that front. I have from now until 9 p.m. Eastern, and which would be 6 p.m. Pacific. So we'll get that all going today. And where I actually want to start is with the quarterback position. And we've talked about this before, how this is going to be such a compelling offseason where you have Tom Brady, who's going to be a free agent. Ryan Tannehill will be a free agent. Marcus Mariota. What's going to happen with Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater? And we can go on and on and on when you pretty much try to delay as much as possible what is the breakdown of this game, so we don't bore you to death with 2 weeks of, oh, what is Jimmy Garoppolo going to do? And what is Patrick Mahomes going to do? And how are they going to slow down the defensive line of the 49ers and the coaching matchup? So we sprinkle it in a little bit this week, and we really go all in next week. But what I really want to start with is next year, though, and what this offseason is going to be like and how it's going to set the stage with the movement that will happen at the quarterback position. And the two names that I do want to start off with on this Friday show are Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Two arguably top 10 quarterbacks of all time. You know, Brady is either one or two. And where you place Drew Brees is anywhere from 15 to probably, let's say, six or seven. When you look at that all-time ranking list, you always wonder where people do place him. I think he's a top 10 quarterback. Some say he's 11 or 12, whatever. He's one of the all-time greats, though, at the position. And two things have come out this week with Tom Brady and then also with Drew Brees. Let's get to Drew Brees, who's at the Pro Bowl, and he delivered this quote that said, it's not a matter of if it gets done, it's when. At this stage of my career, it's not a given that I'm coming back every year, but when that time comes, I'll always be a Saint. So Drew Brees tells you very clearly there, this is not a guessing game. That is what is going to go on with Tom Brady right now. Will Brady return to the Patriots? Will he go to Tampa Bay? Will he go to Chicago? Will he go to Tennessee? Will he go to the Los Angeles Chargers? No, Drew Brees is making it clear. There's a chance I retire. However, if I don't retire, when I'm good to go, it's not a matter of if I'm coming back to the Saints. It's a matter of when I'm coming back to the Saints. So you won't see Drew Brees in this free agency period have a long free agency where he's deciding, do I go to Chicago? Do I go down south to Tampa? Do I like to go to Tennessee and try to get Mike Vrabel a Super Bowl and all that? No, that's not the game that Drew Brees is playing. Drew Brees will either be a Saint or his career's going to be over, and one of the legendary careers that really it was two halves, where he had the San Diego days, then coming off the injury, he was going to go to Miami. The medical staff would not clear him. They didn't think it was a good decision to sign him. He winds up in New Orleans and ends up winning a Super Bowl. I do believe Drew Brees is coming back. If he does retire, I would be shocked at this point. However, he is older, and when you make those decisions, you have to contemplate retirement, even if you're not going to retire. It still crosses your mind at where he is and what stage of the career he's at, and also having the obligations of having younger kids too, probably does cross his mind as well. So Drew Brees, I feel comfortable saying that he's going to be playing next year, even though he wasn't fully all in on it this week. And I will say that he'll be back in a Saints uniform. So I expect Drew Brees to give another crack at it, another go around with it with the New Orleans Saints. And also remember, not that you can't end on a tough finish, because you never get the perfect ending. It's not always you win a Super Bowl and you get to be like Peyton Manning and walk off into the sunset, or Rob Gronkowski and walk off into the sunset, or Ray Lewis, you win and then you retire. That is a fairy tale. That's an anomaly. That is extremely unusual. What usually happens is you have to get dragged off the football field. You're injured. You're crying. Or you just wake up and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you walk away and you find out what you're going to do in life next, whether that's be a commentator, whether that's start a business, or with all the money that you make, just be dad and be there for your kids and not have to work, because how much money Drew Brees has made, he's not going to have to work. His kids will never have to work. However, it does get boring in life if you just sit around and be dad all day. Because every single person in every household, even though how much you love your kids and you love your family, you can't be with them 24/7. That's just life. So with Drew Brees, he'll be back. You know the end is near. I just don't believe where he's at right now and the competitor that he is, with this team not being that far away and having three miserable finishes the last 3 years, where you go back to the Minneapolis Miracle, you also go to the no-call in the NFC title game a year ago, and then this year, everyone thought they were going to win, and Kirk Cousins was the star of that game with that big 40-yard bomb to Adam Thielen, and then eventually the game-winning touchdown pass to Kyle Rudolph on third down. So the end is coming soon for Drew Brees. I don't think it's here yet. Maybe he has another year, 2 years left in the National Football League, maybe at most three. But who knows? Because a year ago, he was slowing down at the end of the regular season, if you remember. And this year, he was more fresh because he was out for five games with the thumb injury. And I always thought that injury this year where he missed five games was actually a blessing in disguise. Sure, you never want to get hurt, but how many hits it did save his body from the physical taxing pain that you'll be in at that age, I think was very beneficial that he was out and that he didn't have to absorb that contact. So with Drew Brees, if he was, imagine if you had Brady and Brees, both as free agents with a legitimate chance to go elsewhere, that would be bonkers. But for Brees, that's not happening. Because as he said, retirement, or I'll be back with the Saints. With Brady, it's a different situation. Because Brady, it's that unknown. And we had Jim Nantz on early in the week. And if you remember when Jim Nantz is talking to us, He goes, you see LaConfora's article. He thinks he's going to the Chargers. And Nance says, I truly don't know, but my hunch, and a Jim Nance hunch is pretty significant. The hunch that Jim Nance is getting and feeling is that Brady's going to be playing next year, but he's going to be playing elsewhere. So with Breeze, when it comes down to retire, return to the Saints, Brady, it's a little bit different. Brady, retirement's not even an option. He said it right after that loss to the Tennessee Titans that it's very unlikely that he's going to walk away from the game. Then had the Instagram post that basically assured us that he would be back on a football field. Where, though? We don't know. So the Brady dynamic is a lot more exciting than the Drew Brees dynamic, because if Brees retires, yes, it's stunning. With that being said, though, at least he's telling you what the possible outcomes are. Now, Brady, I guess, is doing it a little bit as well, except Brady never gave the assurance of, hey, it's the Patriots or it's retirement. So the Brady one, I don't know what Tom is going to do. Now, from a Patriots decision, do you wait like you did last year with Rob Gronkowski and then get so far behind the game? Or if you don't wait, you can't really pressure Brady into making a decision, because he could say, I'm still contemplating returning to the Patriots, but I want to play this out. What are you going to do, go sign another quarterback? Well, Adam Schefter had this earlier today on ESPN's Get Up. Here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting until March 16th to get an answer for Tom Brady. So if Brady wants to play this game and Brady doesn't give them an answer, do they start looking elsewhere? And do they maybe sign someone? Can you imagine if that's how it ends? Brady doesn't make his decision. To make it look like he's not leaving the Patriots if he wants out, he lets the Patriots blink first. Let's say they go sign a Teddy Bridgewater or someone, and Bridgewater's the starter next year, and Brady goes, okay, you don't want me? You're going to sign someone else? I'm going to go and play for the Chargers or play for the Bears or whoever it may be. So the Brady dynamic and what Brady will do, it's the great unknown storyline that's going to dominate the football conversation, because where he is in the annals of NFL history, it's going to dominate that decision until, and that news cycle, until he makes that decision. And I can't wait to see what Brady is going to do, because I think we could all safely assume Brees will be back with the Saints. For Brady, though, your guess is as good as mine. If I had to tell you what my gut tells me right now, what my hunch is, I would say my hunch is that Brady is back in a Patriots uniform. And I don't know if that is, for me, it's not based off any great reasoning. It's based off the hope of not wanting to see Tom Brady in another uniform. And I do believe also part of it, Brady wants to go through this process, never really been through this process before. And it wouldn't shock me if a few days before free agency starts, or right when the legal tampering period starts, maybe it takes a visit or two. I do believe, though, Brady on social media is going to release some posts that he's coming back with the Patriots. On what the numbers on that contract is, I don't know. On the years on that contract, I don't know as well. But my hunch, or actually my hope, is that Tom Brady's not playing another uniform. You don't want to see a situation like Unitas with the Chargers or Montana with the Chiefs. I think the best thing for football is to have Brady and Belichick back together next year with the New England Patriots. Now, here's the question I'll ask you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. With Brees saying it's either retirement or return to the Saints, with Brady being unclear, what quarterback would you ride with? What quarterback do you think has a better shot of winning a Super Bowl again? Is it Brees? Is it Brady back with the Patriots? Is it Brady with another team? Because when you look at the clutch gene of Brady, people may think the answer is Brady. When you look at the better team right now, the better team is the New Orleans Saints. I'll give you my answer about that on the other side and who I think is more likely to win a Super Bowl before all is said and done. The number is always 855-212-4227 on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll also incorporate Aaron Rodgers and Big Ben into the conversation. What is the future for the Patriots, for the Saints, for the Packers? and also the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll do that on the other side. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That was Tom Brady on Westwood One. Let me remind you, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. So Drew Brees made it clear. It's either retirement or it's returning for the Saints. Tom Brady, it's up in the air. He is going to play football for who next year, though? That is the question. And I ask this question, who has the better shot to win another Super Bowl? Is it Tom Brady or is it Drew Brees? When you look at this question and you think if Brady returns to New England, it's tough to bet against Brady in New England because you'd imagine they would fix that offense this year. You very rarely see them, you never see them have two bad seasons in a row. And last year they were 12-4. It never, though, looked right. The offense was never in rhythm. So I would be surprised if next year we're sitting here and we were recapping the Patriots season and it was, wow, Tom Brady and the Patriots had another awful offensive regular season. I would be surprised on that. So I understand the clout, clearly more than anyone, what Brady and Belichick as a duo do carry together and how tough it is. What I know, though, for sure, regardless if Brady comes back or not, that Saints roster is a more talented roster. Sure, the Patriots have a very talented defense. I didn't think it was a all-time great defense, though, last year. And I said that when people were trying to put those claims about that defense and make those claims early on the season, I said, it's way too early. Let's see where they are at the end of the season. And they had run defense problems throughout the year. That was their one Achilles heel on that defense, was the run defense. So I thought that defense was very good. I didn't think, though, that it was an all-time great defense. Were there times you maybe say, yeah, it was a great defense? Sure. Except against the really good competition. I know they played well against Dallas, and Dallas was a fraudulent team. I know they played good against the Eagles. They were not good against Kansas City. They were not good against Baltimore. They struggled against Houston. And in the postseason, I know they only allowed for most of that game 14 points. With that being said, though, they let Derrick Henry run for almost 200 yards. So, yes, the Patriots have a good defense. But the Saints have a good defense, too. And they got injuries on that defensive line at the end of the season, which did hurt them. I think the secondary did improve. And you look at what their offense is, you have Alvin Kamara. You have Michael Thomas. I know Kamara didn't have a great year. Those two pieces, though, in Thomas and Kamara, are better from a skill position than any Patriot skill players that are on that side of the offensive ball. And I think the world of Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman is not a better wide receiver than Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara is a better running back than Sony Michel, than James White, and Rex Burkhead. So because of that, I will say Drew Brees has a better shot to win another Super Bowl compared to Tom Brady. If Brady goes elsewhere, how does that change the conversation? You have to see what team he goes to. And it's tough to count out the Patriots. And I've said this before, they're not dead until either Brady or Belichick, one of them leaves. And then even if Brady does leave, there will be that factor and that part of wondering where, well, who can he bring in and what can Belichick get out of him? But I'll go with Drew Brees on this one. You guys disagree at all? Would either of you take Brady to win another Super Bowl compared to Drew Brees? Because even with Brees having these really solid teams the last 3 years, they haven't been able to get the job done where Brady was at Super Bowl 51, was at Super Bowl 52 and 53 and won two out of three of them. So Does that change the thinking at all a little bit?
I'm surprised that the Saints didn't get one the last 3 years. Obviously, yeah. They had some tragedy. And this year, honestly, Drew Brees got in their way. But it's almost a situation for him, if he doesn't get in the way, if he gets back to the playoffs and plays well, I think they'll get it done. I don't know that that's even true for Brady and the Patriots right now, so that's why I agree with you. I think Brees and the Saints are both together closer to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think the odds are just better with the Saints right now. Mikey B?
I think the problem for Brady, if he does stay in New England, it's that Patrick Mahomes is like 12 years old and he's going to be there for the next 15, 20 years. And I see the Chiefs as a problem. They're going to be the team getting to the Super Bowl every year. So more, it's just where he is in terms of the Chiefs being in his way. Now, who knows where Brady will end up. But I'll go with Brees just based on the fact that I think it's an easier path moving forward.
And if you look at the two matchups, or actually three, in the last 2 years between Brady and the Chiefs, you had that one game where it was back and forth. Gronk made the big play at the end. They had the game-winning field goal in regulation last year. You also had the AFC title game where Mahomes, and we see how dangerous Mahomes is. If it wasn't clear when he threw 50 touchdown passes in the regular season, they scored 0 points in that AFC championship game in the first half last year. And they almost won the game, and they got the game to overtime, and Brady was money on third down twice to Edelman and then one to Gronkowski too. And then this year, the Patriots got off to a really good start in that game. And then the offense couldn't get back into a rhythm. They also had the two horrible officiating calls, if you remember, where they took a touchdown off the board on what would have been a clear scoop and score fumble recovery. And then the N'Keal Harry play, too, where they said he stepped out of bounds and Belichick didn't have a challenge left. So even with how bad it was for the Patriots this year, they were still in that game going up against the Chiefs. However, if the Patriots did face the Chiefs in the playoffs this year, but the way that was rolling, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't have given Brady a chance, but I don't think the game would have been all that close with the way that you see what Mahomes is doing right now, down 24-0, and he's able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and make it 28-24 by halftime. And this past week, 17-7 down in the AFC Championship game, going back to last Sunday, and he goes into halftime off that crazy 27-yard run with the lead up by 4 points. So, yeah, I would go with Brees. I think that's the answer right now because he has the better team, and I still think that team has a window to get it done. You also wonder about the retirement part, and I'll expand this conversation even further to Brady, Brees, Rodgers, and also Big Ben. Now, if I look at those four quarterbacks, I think Big Ben is the first one to retire. If it goes really ugly this year for Big Ben coming off the injury, you probably, as McNabb would say, throw the peace signs, the deuces in the air, and say goodbye and walk away and walk off into the sunset. I think Big Ben at most has a year or two left in him, and he's been through that weird dance before Mason Rudolph got there where he was saying maybe he's going to retire soon, and then Rudolph gets there, oh, no, I'm not retiring. So there's been a thought at least by Big Ben, but where his body's at from a physical standpoint, and even if he does return next year and play healthy, playing healthy doesn't mean he's going to be 16 games, even if he plays well, because that guy gets banged up all the time. He still can miss a game or two or three there, and maybe you contemplate it differently in the offseason. So I say Ben's the first one to retire. Then I think it's going to be Brady after that. I think Brady has a year or two left in this league. I think he'll play at most two more seasons this year and then the year after that. Remember, at the start of next season, he'll be 43. Ben, at the start of next season, he'll be at the age of 38. Then I would say Brees right after that. I do believe Brees has a 1 to 3 year window left, and Brees is 41, just celebrated his 41st birthday in January. And then for Aaron Rodgers, he has 3 to 5 years left, maybe 3 to 5 years left. The thing with Rodgers that concerns me is the attitude. And I know Rodgers had a good season this year, even though some people like to knock him. I don't know if Rodgers is someone that is going to play and want to play as long as a Ben, a Brees, or a Brady. I just don't get that vibe from Aaron Rodgers. So anywhere from 3 to 5 years, I think Aaron Rodgers does have left. And there was a big conversation in Green Bay this past week about what happened with the Packers and the competitive nature, really, of those players who the 49ers were doing one thing, and the Packers couldn't stop it, and the offense couldn't get the ball moving at all up against that San Francisco 49ers defense. And you look at the state of those four teams. We went through the Patriots. We went through the Saints. When you look at the Steelers and the Packers you would think are in a good spot, But I think the Packers right now are a good team, not a great team. And they need to patch up that defense. You have Adams still there at a wide receiver. Aaron Jones is a good player in this league. Maybe you need to go get Rodgers another offensive weapon. I know they went through that dance this year with Lazard, played well at times. Marquez Valdes-Scantling in stretches as well. Jimmy Graham is only getting older. You still have Bakhtiari on that offensive line. It's a good offensive line. But for that Packers team, until they patch up that run defense, I know Preston and Za'Darius Smith were awesome this year, but until you patch up that run defense and you get consistently great efforts out of that run defense, it's tough to win in this league. It's tough to win in the postseason when your run defense is leaking like what they did last Sunday in that NFC Championship game. And for the Steelers with Ben, when you look at that team, very good defense, elite defense with what the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to show this year with Watt and with Hayward, the development of Devin Bush too, the trade with Minkah Fitzpatrick, which a lot of people laughed at, and that Minkah Fitzpatrick trade was dynamite for them. Offensively, though, I don't know what the Steelers are. You have questions with Ben at the quarterback position with his health. Then James Conner, can he stay healthy? Can he be that lead back? Can he be that bell cow back? And then also, Juju Smith-Schuster. What is Juju? Is he a one? Is he a one and a half? Is he a two? What is Juju? And there was health concerns with him this year as well. So Juju without AB, can he be great? Or is he just going to be good? So there's a lot of questions on the offensive side of the ball for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So who do you think is going to retire first between Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Ben? Also, who do you think is more likely to win a Super Bowl before their career is all said and done? Will Brady get his seventh or will Breeze get his second? What is more likely? And on the other side, we have to get to Dallas Keuchel. He did speak about the Astros cheating situation with this new team.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's get to what White Sox pitcher Dallas Keuchel had to say, formerly of the Houston Astros. He did speak to the media today, and he kind of issued an apology. Let's hear what Keuchel had to say.
I think first and foremost, I think apologies should be, you know, in order for if not everybody on the team. And when the stuff was going on, it was never intended to be what it's made to be right now. And I think when stuff comes out about things that happen during the course of a big league ball season, it's always blown up to the point of, oh my gosh, this has never happened before. I mean, I'm not going to go into specific detail, but during the course of the playoffs in 17, everybody was using multiple signs. I mean, for factual purposes, when there's nobody on base, when in the history of Major League Baseball has there been multiple signs? So you can go back and watch film of every team in the playoffs. There was probably 6 out of 8 teams using multiple signs. So it's just what the state of baseball was at that point in time. Was it against the rules? Yes, it was. And, you know, I personally am sorry for what's come about, the whole situation. But it is what it is, and we got to move past that. So I had never thought anything would have come like it did, and I myself am sorry.
Usually when someone apologizes, I usually say, okay, apology accepted. In that one, he kind of says at first, we all need to apologize. Then gets in this humbada, humbada, humbada type of dance where he's trying to make sense and trying to diminish the actual allegations. And then he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, if you don't pretty much like what I said, I'm going to apologize again. Really? And what I don't really get is he was saying what's happening now wasn't really intended the way that it's being portrayed. What is not intended about cheating? You know that you're doing it, and I don't even think Keuchel needs to be the spokesperson here. Yes, he's going to be asked about this, but he could have simply just said, I apologize, I'm a pitcher, doesn't really have much to do with me, and that's it. And he could play that game of, I didn't know what was going on. And even if he didn't know what was going on, he said, I knew about it, but I wasn't a batter. So I let them do what they were doing, and I didn't really put my nose into that. Except he's trying to diminish the actual offense. How tone deaf do you have to be? And then he says it's starting to get blown up. What's getting blown up about this? You had a team, and stealing signs to me was never really a big deal, but when you bring technology into it, and then there's questions about the buzzer, and were they using a buzzer under Altuve's jersey and other players' jerseys, and the trash can, and banging on the trash can, the Houston Astros just thought they could get away with this. They did. They weren't even being careful in trying to hide it. They were hoping, oh, with the raucous crowd and all that, people wouldn't be able to hear the whistling, or people wouldn't be able to hear the banging on the trash can. And even when they were called out for it by the Yankees, AJ Hinch sat up there and lied to you. Straight up lied to you. Laughed about it. Bregman laughed about it. Alex Cora, when he was with the Red Sox, talking about Carlos Beltran, winking about Beltran's importance to the New York Yankees and what he's all about. So I don't think anything's getting really exaggerated about this. I don't think people are making this a bigger deal than what it needs to be. You guys cheated. You got caught. And now you have to face the aftermath of that and the backlash of it. It would be so much better if they are just real and upfront at this point. And when you issue an apology, just issue a sincere apology. What was there to gain for Dallas Keuchel by basically laughing and scoffing at what happened? You're a pitcher. It's that simple. You weren't the one that was physically sitting there, to our knowledge, and banging the trash can. Maybe you were. Who knows? And maybe there's a guilty conscience. Except you're a pitcher, though. All the pitchers, they pretty much get off the hook here. Now, Verlander, he's going to have to face the music, and maybe he'll try to kick every reporter out when they ask him those questions. But Verlander, because of how outspoken he's been about this, and now that it's happened with his team, yeah, that's going to be an interesting press conference. If you're Keuchel, though, you know the story's coming. You're now pitching for the Chicago White Sox, or eventually will be pitching for the Chicago White Sox. So you're going to get asked these questions, and that's the best you could do today? It's getting blown out of proportion. What happened wasn't intended for how we meant it to be. What? Yeah, you intended not to get caught. Your team intended not to get caught. No one cheats and goes, you know what? I'm taking this test. It's seventh grade. I look over to the left. I don't know the answer to the question. All right, I have that split decision to make. I could look to the left and try to see on that Scantron if the person circled A, B, C, or D and hope I don't get caught. Or I could sit there and try to answer the question myself. And don't be wrong. I'll be the first one to admit. I had a few googly eyes, let's just say. I would peek over on a Scantron and they're talking about earth science and I'm trying to figure out what the erosion is with the rock and I have no clue what is being asked and I have no clue anything about the rocks or even the best was the cleavage of the rock. Like, I have no clue. How do you think a seventh grade kid's going to interpret that one? So yeah, you would peek over. And if you got caught, if the teacher, whoever your teacher was, saw that you were cheating, you would say, uh-oh, I didn't mean to do it. Of course you meant to do it. You were cheating. And that's the same thing here with the Astros. Now they're saying, I didn't mean to do it. We didn't intend to do this. Nah, you didn't intend to put a buzzer under someone's jersey. You didn't intend to put the trash can in the dugout and bang on the trash can. You didn't intend to use the replay room with all the cameras. Nah, it's just a coincidence. Hey, it's just a coincidence. We didn't intend to do this. We just had the blood on our hands. We don't know how it got there, though. We don't know how it got there. Come on. Just be real at this point. Hey, we got caught red-handed. Even if you believe this is going on all throughout baseball, which maybe it is, because people will do whatever it takes to get a competitive advantage, you got caught, admit it, and move on. And people actually, this story, I'm not saying it's going to fully go away because you never know with the reporting, but if Keuchel today gets in front of that camera and said, what we did is wrong, I apologize, There's really nothing more that I could say on this situation. I'm not on that team anymore. I look back, I have great memories with the Houston Astros, but I think we could all be in a situation and a stage of regret, and we could be regretful for what happened in the way that we conducted ourselves. The headline is, Astros pitcher shows regret for the situation, shows sincere remorse. Now it's, this guy apologized. I kind of think he apologized, but he listed excuses A, B, and C. Let's get to what Keuchel had to say about Mike Fiers, who some may call a rat, some may call a hero. What does Dallas Keuchel think of Mr. Fiers?
That's a tough subject because you're such a tight-knit community in the clubhouse, and in baseball especially. You're playing 162 games at least in the regular season plus spring training, and then maybe in the playoffs if you're lucky. So you're pushing 185, 200 games, and it sucks to the extent of the clubhouse rule was broken. I mean, and that's where I'll go with that. I mean, I don't really have much else to say about Mike.
Just be truthful. You thought you were close with this dude, and he totally violated what you think is this code of that you don't rat out your brothers in the clubhouse. That's basically how I interpret that quote from Dallas Keuchel. And the fire situation, I think it's a very compelling debate, because part of you could say, well, what were his intentions? Why did he rat out the Houston Astros? Fearful that it was going to be used against him when he's with the A's? When he's pitching on the mound? Was he trying to do the right thing? Or why didn't he do it when he was on that team? A little bit of a tougher situation. So I wonder what the intentions were of Fiers. I don't kill Fiers, though, for going public with this. I don't. And who knows how much he was actually trying to say behind the scenes to keep this private. That's another thing. I would love to know, did Fiers go to the MLB? Did he ever try to tip off anyone about this? I would love to know a little bit more information on that. And then finally, Keuchel, I guess, tries to give this apology again and gives the excuse of, hey, we were the only ones that got caught.
It just happened to come out with the Astros, and like I said, there's a lot of people that are sorry in that organization, including myself, for what happened. Do pitchers benefit from any of that? I mean, not really. But at the same time, we might have had a few runs more per game. In my instance, I did not. I was actually pretty mad about that. So that's kind of that. I didn't really enjoy that sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is, and it just happened to come out that Mike said something, and who knows? I mean, I don't think anybody else is going to come out and say something from other teams. I mean, they see what happens now.
So it's by the way, this is one of the worst, with all the time that you had to think about this, one of the worst apologies you could do. Seriously. You keep on trying to deflect the blame here and throw it to other people. Yeah, we did it. It just so happened to come out that we did it. And it happens with every other team. It may happen with every other team, but you're the one that got caught. You're the one that's guilty. Your team is guilty. So why should any other fan of the game of baseball right now have any sympathy for you, because it may happen with their team? Poor Houston Astros. Poor Dallas Keuchel, that it was them who got caught. You shouldn't be doing it in the first place. There's ways to organically and in good competitive nature and good gamesmanship a way to steal signs. The commissioner, after the Apple Watch situation, said, don't use technology. He gave you the warning, and you still did so. So just say you're sorry and move on. Don't say I'm sorry. However, this happened on Monday, this happened on Tuesday, this team does this on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, Sunday. Stop. Very simple. I'm sorry, what we did was wrong, and I'm moving on to the next season. We're on to 2020. Go Belichick on him. Come on. What are you doing, Dallas Keuchel?
Dallas. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.